Good morning, everyone. I'm Vishwanath Dari from the University of Florida. First of all, thank you all. Thank you all for giving me opportunity to represent my research work. This is my graduate research work. I work with Dr. Vimla Nair, Dr. Willie Harris, and Dr. Rao Mailavarapu at UF. Phosphorus loss model is widely used for a long time to predict the phosphorus loss from any particular system, maybe water scale or large scale water scale or a farm scale, which use various type of chemical input parameters. Today I will focus on discussing mainly on some important chemical input parameters which are used for phosphorus loss predicting model and how can those parameters is affected by the composition of various soil properties and horizon in different types of soil order. To answer these research questions, we choose two different kind of soil orders, spodosol and altisol. As my last speaker said about spodosol and fertilization, but that is in a cold area. I'm from Florida, so it's hot climate, but we still have spodosol with different characteristics. But I will look into the different aspect than the last speaker. First, I would like to walk you through the different soil composition of these different soil orders. Let's start with the spodosol, which has sandy horizon, sandy surface horizon with very less organic matter, immediately followed by E horizon, which is from the picture it's clear that it is very pure and clean sandy materials, no coating is there. Immediately below E horizon, there is BH horizon, which is also known as sporic horizon. It is the subsurface accumulation of carbon or organic matter and metal oxide, mainly aluminium and iron. And the X-ray diffraction analysis confirmed that the clay fraction is dominated by quartz, metal oxide, and layered silicate. And organic matter form a complex session with metal oxide, mainly aluminium. Now let's look at the altisol. It is also surface sandy horizon, immediately followed by E horizon, but it has some coating of silt and clay. It is relatively low amount of metal oxide is also found in E horizon. Now, beneath the E horizon, there are BT horizon, which is mostly inorganic clay materials in it, have a complexation with metal oxide like iron and aluminium. So it's very important for us to know if we are talking about phosphorus transport and movement within the soil profile, because these two type of horizontal differentiation, pedological or compositional differentiation between those two soil order affect the P transport and movement within the soil profile. Like spodosol, surface A and subsurface E horizon has nothing to hold onto the P. It will directly move from surface horizon to the BH, subsequent BH horizon, where it has tremendous affinity to hold the phosphorus because it has organically bound complexation with metal oxide, mainly aluminium. Conversely, we have altisols where AP horizon is moving phosphorus into the E horizon, but E horizon has some capacity to hold P because it has some coating of clay and silt. Immediately below E horizon, it's BT. But it's different from BH in the sense that it has clay, inorganic component in it. It is inorganically complex aluminium and iron oxide, which is attaining a very high affinity for phosphorus to bound in it. Now, those kind of different chemical or pedological or hydrological parameters are frequently used in different chemical or P-loss predictive model, which are used to predict phosphorus loss. Those parameters include phosphorus isosome parameter, which I will explain later on, which are Langmuir KL, friendly KF, or linear adsorption coefficient, which are used as a model input parameter and used to predict the phosphorus loss. Those are traditional way of predicting phosphorus loss from any particular system using the isosome parameter, which is very time consuming and laborious to do in the laboratory process. What if we have something like connection or bridge or equation between soil test parameter, which is very easy to get from any soil testing laboratory like iron and aluminium, from which we can calculate PSR or SPSC. I will explain it later on in the next slide. And getting a predictive equation and use those equation to get the isosome parameter and finally predict the phosphorus loss. So my study is a way to get an easy, alternative and non-expensive way to get the isotherm parameter, which are very important inputs in P loss predictive model, from soil test parameter in an alternative way. to keep that in mind, we have the overarching objective of the project is to assess P retention and potential transport for P loss input model for two different contrasting type of soil orders, like A, E and B, T horizon of altisol and A, E and B, H horizon of the spodosol. The specific research objective were to predict the isotherm parameters like Langmuir KL, Fendlich KF, linear adsorption coefficient from soil test parameter for these two types of soil order according to their horizon differentiation. Remember I said about PSR and specific concept in my background slide. PSR is the phosphorus saturation ratio. It's the simple molar ratio of extractable phosphorus to the molar ratio of extractable iron and aluminum. It can be extracted in any soil test solution like Melic 1 or Melic 3, or it can be in oxalate solution. When we plot phosphorus saturation ratio with respect to water soluble P in the y-axis, water soluble P is the simple measure or amount of phosphorus into the soil solution which can be lost from the system or plant can uptake that phosphorus from the system. So there is a particular point in the x-axis of PSR after which the water soluble start to increase abruptly, and we call that point of inflection as change point or phosphorus threshold value. This is very important because above which P loss will be very vulnerable or problematic to the environmental concern. Now based on that threshold change point, we can calculate SPAC, soil phosphorus storage capacity. By name you can see it is a potential of the soil to retain more P into the soil system, above which it is dictated how much amount of additional P can be added to the soil before it becomes an environmental concern or risk. And it can be calculated from that equation. It's simple, if soil PSR value is greater than 0.1, the whole equation becomes negative. That means soil phosphorus storage capacity becomes negative, then soil will act as a source. It will start to release P from the system. And conversely, if the soil PSR value is less than 0.1, it will act as a sink. That means SPAC will be positive. And the threshold PSR value which we used here to calculate SPAC is 0.1. Initially, the SPAC were calculated using oxalate extractant, and we have calibrated it with the SPAC calculated based on Melic 3. And good luck that we got obviously 1:1 line or closer to 1:1 line. Now for this experiment, we have a couple of soil samples in site selected within the Florida and some of them from the Georgia. This is the coastal plain of the southeastern United States, having lots of altisol and spodosol in it. The prediction site means those are the sites where soil samples have been collected, analyzed and prediction equation were developed. And in the next slide, I will explain about the cross-validation slide, which means those are the sites where soil sample has been collected, separate sites and equation have been calibrated. So those are the four sites collected for prediction of the equation. Those are mostly Suwannee River Basin soil sample. Those are dairy impacted site, and one of them are poultry impacted site. For cross-validation site, those are totally separate soil sites from the Florida. First of all, those are spodosol site. I have six locations selected all over the place from the Florida. And those are the altisol sites. Just to give an idea, there is a wide range of soil sample collected all over the Florida. For phosphorus isotherm determination, we have 2 gram soil sample added with 0.01 molar potassium chloride solution, adding varying concentration of phosphorus, and those mixer were then put into a shaker for 24 hours equilibration period. After that it was filtered and analyzed for equilibrium phosphorus concentration. For those who doesn't know EPC not, it is the concentration of phosphorus into the soil solution when no phosphorus is adsorbed from the solid phase into the soil solution, or it's nothing coming out from the solution into the solid phase. Now those analyzed values were put into the Langmuir and Fendlich equation to get some parameters like K, which is the adsorption constant, which is also known as Langmuir K constant. This is the bonding strength of the soil particle, and S0, which is representing the originally adsorbed amount of phosphorus into the soil solution. Now, coming back into the prediction result, SPC and K values were analyzed into the lab and calculated and plotted. The A horizon soil sample, which are blue bullet, shows it has no retention capacity into the soil. It's all negative SPC. That means bonding energy, which is the bonding strength of the soil particle, it's all in the zero range. There is no bonding strength. But for P and BT horizon, we have higher K values. That means it still has some capacity to hold the phosphorus. It has a linear relationship. And we have the similar kind of relationship for linear adsorption. And the graph number 2, it shows the phenolic adsorption coefficient. But for all the 3 horizons, we have exponential relationship between phenolic KF and soil phosphorus storage capacity. And the equation at the bottom, I will use that equation as predictive equation to cross-validate other soil soil sample to predict the isotherm parameter with the help of that equation. Now, cross-validation using the prediction equation were done on sporosol and altisol. The x-axis shows the determined Langmuir KL values, which were determined in the laboratory by me in the isotherm analysis. And predicted equation were actually predicted from the equation I mentioned last slide. And it was perfectly 1:1 line for both the soil, altisol and the sporosol. And similar trend were obtained for friendly KF also. So, we have talked about key loss prediction model. Now, what is going on in the field situation? If we apply fertilizer or manure in the field, it can have 2 situations. It can retain to the soil or it can be released from the system. So there must be some way to evaluate that P loss risk from the system. So PSR or SPC can be a good option to assess that P loss from the system. There might be 2 options. Below threshold value, that is when SPC is positive, and above threshold value when SPC is negative. That dictates the retention release. But my question is, what are the critical factors which are affecting the P release or retain from a particular system? To explain more, I did some multiple stepwise regression analysis, and I did for sporosol and altisol. I found that for sporosol, if it is above threshold PSR, that means SPC is negative, then it's related to magnesium and water soluble P. Obviously, if I have negative SPC, that means soil cannot hold more P. The water soluble P concentration will increase into the system. And it's very interesting that I found magnesium is related with the SPC. That means higher the concentration of the magnesium in the soil solution, SPC will become more negative. That means soil phosphorus will be lost from the system. But below, I have a relationship with water soluble P and S0, but it's negative relationship with water soluble P. But S0 have a positive, that means in solid phase, S0 is higher in the concentration, that means it will retain P into the system, it is not going to release. The same relationship I obtained for altisols with a model R square value of good. So those are the main factors. Main thing to important here, iron and aluminum has been encountered into the SPC calculations here. So those are the main factor along with other factors. So as a summary, we have 2 profiles, podosol and altisols. So what is going on with the soil phosphorus storage capacity? If we move down from the surface to the lower depth, SPC become positive. For sporosol, E horizon have no storage capacity. You remember it's a clear sand, no coating, so it has no storage capacity. And in the BH horizon, it's organically complex horizon, so it has higher capacity of phosphorus. And in BT horizon, E horizon has some capacity of phosphorus absorption. And if we go down to the BT horizon, it's inorganically bound P at retention. That's what, but it's less than the sporosol SPSC. And if you look into the water soluble P values, it's decreased with the depth, and it almost diminishes to zero at the lower depth, where water soluble P is higher at the surface layer. Now, if you look into the isotherm parameter like Langmuir KL, it increases with depth. That means the bonding strength, physical strength, which increases with the increase of the depth of the soil, and more P will be retained in the lower depth. So the take-home message is isotherm parameter can be predicted from soil PSR or SPSC, obtained from soil test P or iron aluminium, averaging time-consuming phosphorus adsorption isotherm. Those equations predicted can be independent of soil composition, which is implying that predictive equation can be applicable over a wide range of soil samples. And those parameters such as Langmuir K can be used to predict P loss from any site-specific basis in any model. The pedological and compositional distinction between soil and horizon within a soil is responsible for P retention, as you see. from earlier slide, which has an implication. If you have equal amount of preloading in E horizon, but the distinction between E and BT or BH horizon will give differential P transport or retention into the lower depths of the soil horizon. And last but not the least, BH and BT horizon of the soil sample can act as a sink of the P depending on the loading of the soil, if it is positive or it is negative. And those are the, I'd like to thank my funding agencies, my colleagues for helping the agency. And with that, I'd like to take any questions.